Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. A reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, just as we get questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we also get many, many questions through social media. Yeah, and of course, you can send us your questions via social media, including at equip.org. One of those questions that intrigued me today was an email question from Amelia, who said, "Good morning. I heard your podcast with Jackie Hill Perry, the author of Gay Girl, Good God. But I have a follow-up question I was hoping you could answer. I'm an Orthodox college girl with a lot of friends in the LGBTQ+ community. Most of them either had horrible church experiences growing up or they didn't have any at all. I personally don't shut up about my faith, and they know this, but part of me wants to show them more of my faith. I want to talk to them about orthodoxy and their choices in life. What they decide is theirs to deal with, but I feel like I have something to say. They're good people, but I don't think they're going to be happy in the future with the choices that they're making in the present. So, what should I do? Thank you." And of course, she's thanking me for an answer she hasn't received yet, but here it is. The first thing I would say, Amelia, is that I recommend that in addition to the podcast, which you listen to, Gay Girl, Good God, that you get a copy of Gay Girl, Good God, the book. That book is rife with great information that will help you be an effective witness to your friends in the LGBTQ community. God didn't come into this world to save only a fraction of each of your LGBTQ friends. Christ came into the world to save the entirety of their humanity. In other words, God isn't calling gay people to be straight. He's calling gay people to himself. And when that happens, everything else changes. If a homosexual merely pursues heterosexuality rather than pursuing holiness, all they'll do is replace one idol with another. Even if a Christian can't understand the specific struggle of same-sex attraction, all of us can understand the general struggle of sin. And so, Amelia, as an Orthodox Christian, you might consider the wisdom of speaking to your friends as well about the beauty of God, the mystery of the Eucharist. What I'm talking about here is the door of the wardrobe that opens into Narnia. I'm driving at the issue that I communicate so often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that is, it's not about evangelism. It's about equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped, evangelism will take place in the normal course of your everyday life, in the normal course of your everyday interactions. In this case, It is more than just a little helpful to understand the liabilities of the LGBTQ lifestyle so that you can use those deviations as springboards for sharing the beauty of an authentic Christian life. Take for example, the T in that long list of letters, LGBTQ. What does it mean to be the T trans? Well, at its core, transgenderism denies that biological sex is objective and instead arbitrarily privileges one subjective self-description of gender identity. For the first time in history, what's happened is we have begun to decouple gender and sex. What is the harm in doing that? As has been well said, this new and popular sexual paradigm is false at every conceivable scale of resolution. It denies the reality of biological sex, and it supplants it with subjective gender identity. And that's not merely an eccentric academic theory. It raises serious human rights concerns for vulnerable groups. Indeed, transgenderism redefines what it means to be human in the first place. It undermines the very foundations of Western civilization. So your friends, Amelia, in the LGBTQ community also believe that same-sex relationships are as natural and normative as traditional marriage. But that's not true. There are incredible liabilities to the homosexual lifestyle. In fact, you read about them in Scripture. Paul's epistle to the Romans aptly describes both the perversion and the penalty. Remember this famed text there, women exchanged natural relations for unnatural relations, and in the same way, men also abandon natural relations with women, inflamed with one another, with lust, and men committing indecent acts with other men, and as a result of that, they receive in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. So being equipped for evangelism means being able to give answers, including being able to give a defense of the Holy Tradition and of the Scripture, which is a product of that Holy Tradition. You know, when most LGBTQ people hear someone cite the Bible, the reaction is polite expressions of exasperation, because they think the Bible teaches that parents are to do things like stone their children if they stray away from faith, or the Bible contains a warrant for trafficking in humans, or ethnic cleansing, or slavery, or bride price, or indiscriminate massacre. You probably know the list. Of course, none of this could be farther from the truth, and we need to become equipped to give answers. And I've given a plethora of those answers in many of my books. Has God Spoken, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, etc. So what's missing in the lives of your friends, Amelia, is an authentic sense of mystery. There's a whole world out there that they're not learning about because of their materialistic presuppositions. You know, the physical facts fix all the facts, and the corollary implication that one's subjective self-description of gender and sexual identity simply trumps any and all objective biology and morality. It's so sad. Post-Enlightenment thinkers have in essence become wretched flatlanders. When thinking about the possibility of experiencing life that is life to the full, more often than not, they retreat into fundamentalist paradigms. Far from independent thinking, they blindly suppose that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. I think there's a message here for the church in general, and that includes the Orthodox Church. If we want to reach the LGBT community, the church must once again take the task of Christian education seriously. Permit me to state the obvious. There are myriad professors and cultural pundits ready to steal away the faith of your friends, ready to tell them that the existence of God is less probable than the existence of Santa Claus. So it's hardly sufficient to be intellectually equipped. As I've emphasized again and again, it's axiomatic that we are internally equipped, energized by a power that is in us but not of us. And that is the energy that alone can transform the world, including those even now trapped in a lifestyle that overpromises and underperforms. We're up to the hard break, station break. We're back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions. Be right back.
Sexual identity issues are central to the chaos and confusion in our culture today. Although it's easy to see how issues of sexual identity have separated society, we often underestimate the way any sin creates a chasm between Christ and even the most dedicated Christians. Nothing could be more serious, which is what makes Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry so compelling. Even if many Christians cannot understand the specific struggle of same-sex attraction, all Christians can understand the general struggle of sin. In this growing spiritual darkness, the importance of lighthouses can hardly be overestimated, and Jackie's story is truly a lighthouse. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him, right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go right to the phone lines. First up is Sabi listening in Romania on the web. Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, recently here in Romania, a kind of church was established from the United States. I don't want to mention the name of this church. And I just read their belief. And this church says that they emphasize on quality instead of quantity. Is this a good approach in a Christian church to do such thing? It's like I had the feeling that I'm going to... It was like if I apply for a job and I have to make a performance. What do you think?
Well, it's important that there is such a thing as church discipline, which is to say that if within the context of the church there is overt sin, that overt sin should be dealt with. Otherwise, the church is not performing its legitimate function. But what the church is called to do is not in a Gestapo fashion check out every detail of a member's life, but rather encourage them to examine themselves. Isn't that what Paul tells us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Before we partake of the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves. And the reason is that if we partake in an unworthy manner, there are consequences to the person who does that. So the church is to exhort its members to walk in truth and righteousness. It is to exhort its members through example to worship God in spirit and in truth, to have oneness with each other as exemplified by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, and then to be equipped to go out and impact the world. But I think the emphasis is let a person examine themselves to see if they are in the faith. Now, as someone that becomes a member of a church, it is important that you are willing to adhere to the standards of that church. But I think self-examination is what is at issue in Scripture.
Oh, I see. But what shall I say to those members if they ask me that the church where I belong, they kind of emphasize on quantity, like everybody is invited, and my church doesn't really put some special requirements to members in an aggressive way.
I think what's important is that you take seriously being a member of the body of Christ. This is a very, very serious matter, and that's why I mentioned Romans chapter 12. And I think that all too often we are cavalier within the body of Christ today. We go and we have our little experience, and then we do little else. But to worship God is a very, very serious matter. To do so in community, more serious still. And then to recognize that the centrality of the church is to partake of the Eucharist or the Lord's table. Through that, we receive energy that is divine energy. We are partakers of the divine nature. None of this should be taken in some cavalier fashion. We should be very serious about these things. But again, I think that the emphasis needs to be, and if they're talking about quantity, meaning that they're equipping the body of Christ, that they are investing their lives into the lives of the members of the church so that those members can be reproducing disciple makers. I think that's very, very good, because I don't think that the church ought to be a numbers game. It is a matter of every believer being equipped. And if believers are equipped, then you're going to have geometric growth anyway. But that growth has to be growth that involves discipleship, so that people are not just like tumbleweed without root, but rather that they are rooted and grounded in the faith, that they know how to read the Bible rightly, how to worship God in spirit and in truth, that they understand what they've given their life to. So I think it's important that a church does not function in cavalier fashion, but takes seriously the great commandment and the great commission, as well as the ultimate, which is that we worship God in spirit and in truth.
Oh, I see. Well, thanks for your view.
Well, I appreciate your call, and God bless you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, this is a great example, by the way, that our callers come in, not just during the show, but during the regular course of ministry from all over the world. This is a global ministry. I've spoken in China in three different places. I've spoken in Seoul, Korea. Our ministry has a global outreach, and those that stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth are making an impact in the lives of people worldwide. Let's go back to the phone line and talk to Calixto in Arkansas. Hi.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I was speaking to this gentleman today, and he was telling me that, you know, Jesus is not God, and I took him to where Thomas sees the Lord, and he says, you know, my Lord, my God, and says that he worshipped him. And also about how Abraham was talking to God, or was visited, and two angels went to, he was talking about how that actually is just a vision of Jesus telling him that it's just a vision. It's not really that God was there. And he said about the Thomas, he said, look, I've read the Greek Bible, and it says that it means glad, that, you know, that Thomas was glad, not that he worshiped God. And I'm like, huh, where does this come from, this non-Trinitarian, I guess, denomination? Is it something new? Is it something of old?
Well, it is a constant battle, because if there is an attack on the Christian faith, it starts with an attack on the deity of Jesus Christ. And to answer your question with respect to Thomas, he was worshiping Jesus. He was saying, my Lord and my God. And Jesus responded with commendation. He didn't condemn Thomas. You have exactly the inverse when John worships an angel. The angel says, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and with all who worship God. So don't worship me, worship God alone. Jesus accepted worship, and so you are to be commended in that you pointed to a very significant passage pointing to the deity of Jesus Christ. But the Bible throughout declares that Jesus Christ is God. Nothing more clear than what Paul says in Colossians 1, that all things were created by him, and God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Only deity has the prerogative of creation, pre-exists all things, and personifies the full essence or nature of God. And I love what Hebrews says. According to God the Father himself, Jesus is God. And the way in which the writer of Hebrews puts it is about the Son, the Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. So the Bible in its entirety demonstrates that Jesus Christ is God, Christ claimed that he is God, and his miracles vindicate the claim that he is, in fact, God. So the mother of all questions is really what you're dealing with here. Who do you say that I am? So for those who say that Jesus was just a good teacher, they're denying an essential of essentials. Jesus was not just a good teacher. Jesus was God. In fact, he could not have been a good teacher if he wasn't God, because he claimed to be God. No good teacher would claim to be God when, in fact, he was not God. So I think you've dealt with this in a very effective fashion, but it is the essential of essentials in my estimation, and therefore you have many people trying to dispute it on the one hand, but Christians are equipped to always be able to communicate this truth, particularly when the deity of Christ is under siege. We're out of time. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you the book, Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.